Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1147. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Kevin, how about yourself?
Well, I was glad I opened the Bell Time beer early this week. It done near exploded on me here, and I had to switch beers before the show even started. So, that was unexpected, and so was Chris. I would say the arrival of one Pat McAfee on the scene very shortly into SmackDown this past week here.
Yeah, let's okay. I think we need to go through it from the beginning of what started SmackDown. They're in St. Louis, Randy Orton's hometown. He's really, really, really not going to get booed no matter what. Or at least maybe so, or at least he's not going to get booed.
Oh,
He
right.
essentially again, and I think this is important. He re asserts his motivation here. It's about the title. He wants to be champion. That is it. He wants to be champion. Cody Rhodes has given him the green light to listen to the voices in his head. And there has been, and okay, there has been another voice in his ear.
Right.
And Cody Rhodes comes down to the ring. Starts beating up on Randy Orton. And then Pat McAfee literally strolls into the ring. Like, so it's the point where you're just like, what, who, what? Pat McAfee? What? And, but he's
Yeah,
wearing an
that's it.
RKO Everybody shirt and the douchiest sunglasses indoors you will ever see in your entire life.
It was how he was wearing them
Yes.
that really made it
Oh. And they've copied that
really
just.
douchey.
They've copied that into the WrestleMania, the WrestleMania graphic, the new WrestleMania graphic for this match for sure, yes. But Pat McAfee kicks Cody Rhodes in the balls, and then Randy Orton goes to work on him with a chair. And then Pat McAfee cuts the promo about how WWE sucks now. He wants to bring back the Attitude Era. He's sick of, five-foot-five guys doing 45-minute matches every week. He thinks Cody Rhodes is a okay. He called Cody Rhodes a corporate puppet. This is very important. So
Okay.
Cody Rhodes is supposed to be the corporate puppet of WWE and TKO. I haven't even thought about this yet in terms of how this all makes sense. Cody Rhodes is supposed to be the guy. So why? So Randy Orton is, excuse me, so Pat McAfee is now talking about bringing back just swearing and boobs and all of it. All of the
Yeah,
trimmings.
hold
And,
the
but
whole
and
nine
saying
yards.
that the whole nine yards, while also, well, saying that Randy Orton is everything that what we've heard for over 20 years, if you build a professional wrestler from the ground up, it would look like Randy Orton.
We have been told that for quite some time.
Yes, and that Randy Orton is, and I just, I, and now that I'm going back over it in my head, it doesn't jive with, first of all, it doesn't jive with the story, with what Randy Orton's been saying. There is no Randy Orton should not care about this. He has no he just wants to, he just wants to win titles and make money. No actual wrestler should care about this at all. This what's the sector of the fans that haven't let go of an era that literally ended 25 years ago this week. Because the end of the Attitude Era is pretty much thought of as when Stone Cold turned heel and went with Vince. And that was
Uh-oh.
25 years ago this week.
I, y y yeah, people Even though they were there, do not have perspective at how long ago some of this stuff
I mean, these are
happened.
people who were fifth, like say 15 then, and they're 40 now. And they, I mean, again, I'm not saying that these people don't exist. I've been on the internet. They do exist. They've essentially been hate watching WWE for 25 years. Just hoping
I've
that something
certainly seen enough emails in my inbox with these types of opinions that people, yeah, it's just like, why are you even watching? Like, I see your complaints. Like, I just turn it off. Like, there are other options out there.
Exactly. And now, if you want to make the broader argument about larger than life characters and, badasses, and maybe that's maybe Pat McAfee didn't make his point as well as he wanted to make, in terms of that. It's not like the poo-poo pee-pee stuff of the Attitude Era. He wants, your character, your Stone Cold, your Rock, you look at them and you look at some of the people today. You know what? There's almost a point.
Well,
He has some points in that regard if you played it more that way.
without getting into this hype, but if there was more, I think Brock and Oba stands out
It
more
does.
in this era because of, what we're talking about,
It does.
where
It absolutely does. Yes, it completely does. And okay, and now this is just seeing what we saw as of that moment. Okay, so again, I think Pat got too broad with this. I think if they'd focused on the story they've kind of been telling, even playing off of what's the Stephanie McMahon thing from last week, this idea that Cody's soft, that he's weak, that he's not, he's not what a champion's supposed to be. He can't beat this version of Randy Orton. If they'd really played along more with that, I think that you have something more.
It
But
definitely plays a little bit better if that's the
if it's just about Cody Rhodes, the idea of Cody Rhodes as champion versus the idea of Randy Orton as champion, essentially who is more of a, at this point, more of a, larger than life badass? Well, you know what? I don't know if that a lot of people would disagree that it's Randy Orton, but he didn't call. But then McAfee also has to go further into the "this place sucks." He has to talk about attendance, which also plays does which we're going to get back to later too as well. He talks about
yeah, that's
ratings. He talks about
that's where things got started to get really weird in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he's, because it's, it's again, he wants to be the voice of the 40, 50-year-old fan who hasn't let go of the past, or that's, again, there's, as I said, there's ways you could do this, but then there's also the part where, is he the right mouthpiece for this? And the answer is no. He's the guy from ESPN. He's the guy who was sitting there calling this shit every week up until the middle of last year, happily calling this era of wrestling, acting like it was the greatest, it was the most fun he's ever had. Like this man loved his life every Monday or Friday night whenever he was sitting next to Michael Cole.
And I mean, it's not like they hit it. The Yeet era maybe does not happen without Pat McAfee.
Yes, Pat McAfee's enthusiasm for the product was a major. I know some people find him annoying or think they don't think he's a really good commentator or whatever. I think his name, he's really, his name, his celebrity name. He finally had their version of Joe Rogan or whatever, and then his actual enthusiasm for the product. It was, it helped. It is a big part of the last, 3 or so years of WWE, or 3 or 4 years. So again, he's in that regard, he's the wrong person. It's just, the hints that they dropped, he don't reflect him at all. Why would Randy Orton listen to this man? Why would he take his advice? Why would he be subservient to Pat McAfee, of all people?
Yeah, well, and like you said, he stated his goal, why he was doing it, and was very clear about it too. So just their both of their viewpoints within that segment itself didn't work together.
No,
It
because
was like
again,
they were
they don't care
talking
about
about
this.
two, yeah, we were talking about two different things,
Right, exactly.
honestly. Like it's so weird to and that, but then to have them as a team is just, yeah,
Yeah.
it's such a odd choice all around that, yeah, there were not a lot of redeeming qualities about what happened on SmackDown.
No. Good.
I
Because it
try to find
for first,
the good side
first because
sometimes, but
it just
oh
doesn't make
man,
sense. McAfee's not it's so off the wall that it's him that it's like it you can't even train your brain to think
yeah.
this is great. This
Well,
is cool. This is awesome. Yeah.
yeah, I guess that was the other thing. Like, I don't know who the right choice was, but I know that Pat McAfee wasn't the right choice.
Right.
You know,
Now
like,
we'll
I don't
get back
have
to who.
someone on my
Well, we kind
brain
of
personally.
do. It's and he does get mentioned. He does get mentioned as we cross over to Monday Night Raw. So let's follow what happened. Now, Cody Rhodes comes down towards the end of the show in the last hour or so of the show, cuts his quote unquote shoot promo.
Oh.
Goes off on Pat McAfee, but also goes off on TKO. As if he's saying that they sent Pat McAfee here to essentially ruin this match. And saying about how this is about the saying like everyone was saying, it's about the title. It's about, nearly 20 years of history just between the two men in the match. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one where I know that it's already been floated out there that this is more of a TKO driven choice.
I believe it is, but I but again the more layers of this, but it does but the there's layers of this that could that are keeping added that could make sense in the end, but
Oh.
it doesn't how it started cannot make sense. Like it's just why Pat McAfee? Why is he
Yeah.
saying all? Why is he saying the show sucks? Why is he saying what Again, why are we doing this to this level? And why are we combining it with this match and Randy Orton? And why would Randy Orton be involved in this and all that? How he
Yeah,
started
like
makes no sense. Will make no sense no matter
yeah,
what.
like you could run this angle if you want to, but I think that's the good point that you're making that it this match isn't the right place to make that argument. It feels
Yeah.
like you do this on some type of brand supremacy PLE or something like that, you know? Yeah, it seems wild to be doing it on WrestleMania too, of all
With
cards,
2 weeks
like.
with 2 weeks notice, I mean we I mean, again, the decision to go with Orton as a heel has been, has been dissected thoroughly on this podcast and every other podcast and YouTube show and whatever else there is out there. And again, Cody in his promo did hit on the issue of, people who want him to be a quote unquote a bad guy
Oh,
and again, this
yeah,
was the
I
most
kind
fired
of.
up Cody Rhodes promo in years. I mean,
Yeah, I really it, this was one where I enjoyed the front half of the promo, and then when it started to get weird with the TKO stuff, I was just he kind of lost me a little
right,
bit.
because Cody is already supposed to be TKO's poster boy. Now there's a, as I said, there's a way
to
this
address
makes
this.
there's a way to address this and make the and make this make sense. And it's not about, the actual CEO of TKO, you know, a Jewish man is in his 60s showing up on TV to play Vince McMahon. That's the last thing we need. That'd be worse than Tony Khan making himself a weekly part of his show.
Oh man, I'm glad TK has really he has not been involved recently. So much to his credit, like, but anywho, yeah, we don't need Ari Emanuel or any other. We don't need any figure higher, really. I guess there's The
There's
Rock.
one. There's yes, and
Yeah,
that's where this can make some sense because he's already got a grudge against Cody. He's from the Attitude Era, so he'd want the era where he was most famous, most comfortable. You know, he
Oh,
and
and
then.
he is definitely, I mean, he has attitude era'd all over
Right.
his promos when he has been on
We have
WWE
again. We have his established
TV.
history with Cody. We have that setting. He's was a heel the last time we saw him. Which then leads us to CM Punk on Monday Night Raw. Cuts his. I wouldn't want to say his usual promo on Roman Reigns because he went pretty hard on Roman Reigns himself. The line of lines about failing eight times, which is almost not an exaggeration.
Yeah, I mean, I know that all of those failures are somewhere in the Stunt Granny archives.
Yes, they are.
And they are many and numerous, and they were it's one thing when you have what happened to Cody, you experience the loss the first time and then you get the big win the second time. When you lose like legitimately at least four straight before being able to turn the ship around, oh man, that it was looking really bleak at that time
There was just
period.
so much, and even I mean, again, even after Roman Reigns finally gets the big win over Brock Lesnar, which happened at a SummerSlam, by the way, not even at WrestleMania, because he's like,
I forgot
"We got an
about
idea
that.
to drag this out even more." Damn it! And you were there when Roman lost that WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, I forgot that I was at a couple of those. Jeez, it's been a while.
And then it still wasn't meh because CM Punk references the 2019 Baron Corbin feud where Roman Reigns was forced to eat dog food. This is even late in babyface Roman Reigns that he was dealing with this kind of shit. So yes, Punk was really hard against Roman Reigns and really again.
Yeah, he definitely went in strong.
He
I didn't
went in
think there was
very
a
strong
whole
about.
lot of fresh material to go over, but yeah, I guess we should have known. Again,
He.
given the amount of
And
content we covered about
in
it,
the midst of that,
we should know.
he does mention The Rock. He's like, including saying The Rock was a major Hollywood superstar. I don't think the Smashing Machine box office was that bad that talking about it in the past tense, but
Yeah, I mean, I would say that didn't he get some type of nomination for that? I know he did not
I
win
think it's like a
anything.
Golden Globe or something. Yeah, not the nomination,
Yeah.
but then didn't win, of course.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's good enough to, still be relevant at a minimum,
But The Rock has now been mentioned on the road to WrestleMania. And then CM Punk turns his attention to Pat McAfee, runs him down, and then says, if you want to bring back all those old fans, why don't you tell your agent who put you, shoehorned you into this business to lower the ticket prices? Which is probably, yes, the most shocking thing said on TV in all of this.
Yes, that was something that I got a little bit of a preview of it in the group chat, but I really was still a little surprised by the commentary there.
Yeah, you would never think that they would ever go there. I mean, yeah.
It's one of those. It almost seems. Do the kids still say meta? Does
Yeah.
that still
Oh,
work in
this is
this
all this. This is
situation?
this is this. This is some meta. This is definitely some meta stuff here. Like, how do we even pay this off? Like, how do you, is are they going to make the ticket prices part of the storyline? Are we going to get? Are we going to get
It
the
seems like
Rock
it.
essentially playing the evil TKO chairman who has jacked up ticket prices
Prices this badly.
this badly, so that we can, so that, I mean, I guess it's a lot of people now, because we've seen it in a lot of different, we've seen a lot of restaurants, and hotels and airlines, offering these great deals now. We're going to Las Vegas next week. Well, Las Vegas this week, almost all of the major strip resorts are now doing some pretty big, all-inclusive, stays now. McDonald's is bringing back more value meals. It's like, will WWE actually make a push to say our tickets are affordable again? And they're going to use a storyline to get us there.
I mean,
Post-WrestleMania.
it has been wild that it's been mentioned on TV twice. Like this is the third time that they've talked about ticket prices being lowered, because they did have to admit that they were shaving the 25% off
Then the
there.
31.6%.
Yes, and that was number two.
Yes.
So, but it was also one of those things, I've got to admit, that I was just like, I definitely still spent some change on WrestleMania. I'm like, do I feel like going to Raw here in Columbus? And I'm like, I know what these prices
Better
look
stuff.
like. I'm not sure I want to. I think I mentioned it before. I find it easier to go to SmackDown than Raw just because I have the following day off.
Right. No one's actually able to.
Yeah, it's kind of it would be easier to look at their tickets even if they don't come down that much. Like it honestly would not be that hard to come down,
Right. Yeah.
considering
They
what.
could come down. Yeah. No, it's, or is anything going to be as inexpensive as it was 20 years ago ever again? Probably not. No. But you
Oh,
can get,
right.
we can get back. We can get back about maybe 2, 3 years on that.
Yeah, because I mean, at least I know from experience being a season ticket holder for both the Columbus Crew and the Columbus Blue Jackets, prices don't go up that quickly. Like, do they go up? Yeah, they go up every year. Can I get a deal to lock in a lower rate? Hell yeah, and that's one of the reasons I keep on doing it. The WWE, that cost jump has been just, well, something that we've talked about on this podcast for, a couple of years now, and it's
Yes.
something that it got normalized somewhat recently. So it's just like, I mean, it is what it is, especially looking at some other events. At least if they're popular, it is what the WWE is charging is kind of on par for some pop culture events. But it always does come back to the frequency. To me, part of it's the frequency problem. They're coming to most venues at least twice a year. Like, that's a lot to expect. Like, you're not necessarily going to see your favorite band twice in the same year.
Right, yeah.
Like, they might come around once a year, and you might see them on a following tour the next year or something like that. If you're really into them. But in general, like, it's hard to do a double take. And I mean, yeah, I still feel like concert tickets are still pretty reasonable, all things considered. I mean, and I know I've paid more for concert tickets than I used to these days, but I think, what was it? I want to say that the seats that the last time I went to SmackDown were like $85. We're creeping up into like the 135 territory. And it's just like, these seats weren't that great. Like, what are we doing here? Like, and again, like the season tickets for the Blue Jackets aren't going up that much, in the same venue that I'm sitting in. It's just like, I know that this can be operated for cheaper than what you're charging me here, pal.
Oh, they've
So
yeah, they have they have overrested. They ran hot. They ran hot for a couple of years. They had
oh.
at as these prices were going up and up and up. And they've now, they ran head on into the wall of WrestleMania in the post John Cena era, where they were setting up nothing for you
Oh.
until after the Royal Rumble, really. Do we even know one or two matches? One
Yeah,
match. We knew one match after the Royal Rumble. Now, granted, that's not everything, because a lot of times you're not going to know a real card up until about 4 weeks or so out, or whatever. But the bloom was off the rose with Vegas, with the ticket prices, with
People were still upset about it not being in New Orleans. Like, I'm on the list. I love me some New Orleans. So it was, yeah, a little upsetting that that happened too. And yeah, I don't think that double dipping for Vegas helped. And one thing about the whole lower the ticket prices, I'm like, you're like really counting on locals at that point, to me, to pick up those tickets. I don't know how many tickets they have left to try and sell. I still feel like that'd be a solid amount of local fans that you'd need to talk into this, that have presumably already known about it and
But
said, "Nah, that's okay, dog."
that's where the mistake of running Las Vegas is. In a second for a second year in that regard, there's really not a strong local fan base. I mean, an NFL team and a football stadium exists in Las Vegas so that more than usually typically more than half
Oh.
of the fan base, the fans, are wearing the opposing team's jerseys and
Yeah,
merchandise.
and it also
See, also
not
Los
too
Angeles.
dissimilar. It's the Las Vegas Golden Knights that happens a decent chunk too. I
Yeah,
do
no,
think that
that's
they
a
have a better native fan base than the football team does. But because Las Vegas is a travel city, they do
you
get
also need a
a large amount of
right. Yeah.
out of city fans.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people didn't like Philadelphia outdoors in the cold, and that was certainly one of the
Oh.
main reasons we never even considered that one at all. But it's
No,
still
I
a driving distance from a lot of big cities and in a large population area,
Oh.
and in areas that are have rich in WWE history. New York, obviously Philadelphia itself, New York, Boston, Pittsburgh, places they've sold out, year after
Yeah, the
year after year after year,
Carolinas.
dating back to the 70s, even the 60s, in some aspects. So there was a well, there's a fan base here. Vegas doesn't have that. Vegas, WWE has, if they run, a 15,000 seat place there, yeah, they can sell it out, but still, you're there's gonna be enough tour. There's gonna be quite a number of tourists, and it's didn't have it this year, and yes, the prices were a big part of it.
Well,
It's
and
expensive.
I guess you kind of make a good point too. There isn't a lot in an easy drivable distance to Vegas outside of Los Angeles, from what I understand. I mean, that's a large area to pull from. That's also, I feel like, a solid drive, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere between 3 and 5 hours, if memory serves, without looking it up. So, yeah, there's not a lot of populations. Like you said, like somewhere like Philly, DC, somewhere in that area, you can get somewhere in relatively easy fashion
Yeah,
without having to travel too
Indianapolis.
much.
We've talked about Atlanta, multiple cities in Florida. Yeah, again, Vegas is far the way for a lot of people. You essentially, most people will essentially have to fly there, and then that's you get into that cost. You get the hotel cost. You get into the cost of everything in Las Vegas now. Yeah, we're way off the reservation with this conversation, aren't we? Now it even relates back to wrestling, that much back to wrestling. Well, I guess we're talking about how it's like it feels
They
like they're
brought up the
re
ticket prices to
yes.
with CM Punk is how
It feels like TKO is ready to wave the white flag about the ticket prices.
oh.
And they're also seem to be willing to run it as part of a storyline where TKO leadership is considered are the bad guys. It is where this seems to be going right now.
Yeah, as long as we do not have, a corporeal Vince McMahon-like figure, I guess I'm okay with if this
Which
is where
is
we end up.
which I guess could be where The Rock comes in, but we've got no comfort. Again, we're back where we were last year. Congratulations. Is he going to show up or not? With less with a little over a week out.
Yeah, and I mean that is the biggest problem. I was also unsurprised to see that WWE Creative not terribly happy with what has been foisted upon them.
Yeah.
It
And people are
might end
comparing it
up
to the
working out in the end, but it's
and
still
yeah.
like it's not helping their product at all.
No. I mean, 2 years ago, obviously they made chicken salad out of everything with The Rock first being forced in, and then the pivot, and then him going along with the pivot, and worked out better than anything that's happened in wrestling in the last 25 years. And I think people are forgetting that. I think people are almost like, well, this is the third year in a row TKO and other people and other forces are sticking their nose in Triple H. 2 years ago, it made it better. Let's be brutally honest about what it was.
Yeah, started out poorly, ended up working out.
Now, last year, now again, whose exact idea it was to turn Cena heel? I don't even remember. I think I forget. Was it Triple H or was it somebody else? Was it The Rock's suggestion? I don't even remember now. But it
Yeah.
was TKO and other and people who did suggest the involvement of Travis Scott, which is the other part beyond Cena's heel turn not working, and
Oh.
the third part. First part was Cena's heel turn not working in general. Second
Yeah.
part was Rock bailing and not showing up at WrestleMania. The third part was Rock not showing up, but Travis Scott showing up and ruining the main event, which was already not a good match to begin with.
Oh,
Okay,
yeah.
so that so that's so that's
That
a
is a
that's a
real
loss in
bad
TK.
combination there.
Yeah, that's a loss in that's definitely a loss in TKO meddling book. By far, yes. This again, you can't mention the ticket prices on TV unless you're planning on doing something about it.
Oh, yeah, that would be really strange to not do something about it.
Yeah, it's.
It'd be kind of interesting, honestly, to see if I notice any difference just jumping on Ticketmaster to look at prices for the Raw here in town. Because I believe it's like May, late May, or something like that. So it's a while off. If there's supposed to be a decline in tickets, hey pals, that better show up in my inbox pronto.
Yeah. I mean, and that is the things that they're referencing on TV. Do you want to make your corporate overlords the heels? Do you want to should Pat McAfee be shitting all over the show? Should he be talking about not wanting to see little guys have long wrestling matches when the
Which
main event
is
of your
a bit of
television
a
show,
misnomer anyway, to
yes,
be honest with you.
when the main event of your television show was Sami Zayn versus Carmelo Hayes. Now I know Sami Zayn not 5'5", but still
Yeah,
fits a
and
lot of what Sam, a lot of what Pat McAfee is talking about, with kind of generic looking guys just, having good wrestling matches and whatever. There had some stuff, I guess, could be written off as, okay, the heel is saying it, so he's wrong. But having
oh.
Punk talk about the ticket prices, that's a whole other, that's a different thing.
Yeah, you've really opened an interesting can of worms with that one. And
Yes.
I don't think you can unopen that can. So it will be kind of interesting to see what ends up coming of all of this. But you kind of mentioned it there. I don't know if there's much more to mine from that topic, honestly.
No, we've gone almost an hour.
But a side topic that ended up coming out of this SmackDown here, after mentioning Pat McAfee and talking about star power and whatnot, one that Lil Yachty also found himself shoehorned into
Oh,
an
shoehorned you.
ankle that
Yes.
it was completely unnecessary. Like I would have absolutely no problems if he was the one that just showed up and he was the musical act for Trick Williams.
Yeah, that's all
Even
it.
advertise it ahead of time.
Yeah,
Like,
you
but
could
why is he
absolutely
in
do
this
that.
angle? But
Because one of the big problems here is that this is at least the second time now, with of course one Travis Scott being the major thing I'm thinking of. These rappers, when they come on WWE TV, whatever charisma and stage presence they have, like, turns into a negative. They come off very unlikable and obnoxious, even. And he seems like he's having he's a, he's a he. He, this guy has attended more shows this year than Roman Reigns has. I mean,
fair shots fired. Fair shots fired.
I mean,
Here it's Sun Granny.
this man is a real fan. He needed to see, he had to go out and
Yes.
say that about himself. Like, this, he's living a dream here, but the dream is in the middle of this already kind of weird storyline between Sami Zayn and Trick Williams, where people, where it's not exaggerated to say everyone now is cheering Trick Williams and everyone is booing Sami Zayn.
By the end of this SmackDown, Sammy got some cheers on his way out, but those cheers really turned against him by the end of this
Right.
match.
And they are making intentional moves to turn him into something of a jerk. Absolutely.
Yes.
He took advantage of distraction last week. He took advantage of an injury this week. He is starting to be a jerk in how he carries about his business. In addition to the just the issues that already are that, he loses all the time and complains about it, and he's, and all the things that have turned people against him over the last few months. Trick Williams, of course, on the other hand, has just keeps gaining and gaining in popularity. But the way they did this now is they have Lil Yachty and Trick Williams making fun of his complexion, his hair. They're being heels
Oh,
in this scenario
yes.
now, when everything was naturally moving towards the direction of a double turn. You could, if they didn't have Lil Yachty there, going so hard on the promos, the gingerbread man stuff. By the end of SmackDown, you could have just done the double turn right then and there. It
Oh.
could have just been done just before the match.
It would have worked. Have Sami Zayn
It would have
take out
worked.
Little Yachty. Little Yachty needs to take a bump if he wants to really be involved here.
We'll hopefully he will. Hopefully you'll get your wish. So now we have this weird dynamic heading into the match where Trick and Lil Yachty are being assholes. Sami Zayn is also being an asshole to Carmelo Hayes, and just in general, just being a whiny crybaby and all the things that he's that have just turned the crowds against him these last few months.
I mean,
So
it
you.
certainly developed after, like you said, like he's had definitely a high profile string of losses in main events that you can't deny at this point.
You can't deny it, and then you can't deny that every time they go to him backstage or whatever, all he's doing is crying about it, and now he's taking shortcuts, and now they have legitimately cut out any chance that Carmelo Hayes is getting added to this match or is going to get a WrestleMania match. This man, this man has a legit gripe. I mean, if anyone has a legit gripe about not making WrestleMania and being cut off at the knees and buried right at the doorstep of WrestleMania, it's Carmelo Hayes.
That was wild to me. Like in a lot of ways, I expected a three-way match somehow to
Right.
develop.
Yeah,
You
or even
know, I
something beyond
don't.
that. Hey, so not only does this happen to Carmelo Hayes, so when Pat McAfee cut that part of his promo about 5'5" guys having long, boring matches, he's basically talking about Carmelo Hayes. Maybe a little dragon off, but he's talking about Carmelo Hayes. And these US Open champion open challenge matches that take up a lot of TV time. And
Hey,
I think
Carmelo
Carmelo has
Hayes
was
is
was a
a
far better champion in that regard than and had far more interesting matches than Dragunov had. But he is essentially being made out to be the poster boy of everything that's wrong with WWE, according to Pat McAfee, and maybe a sizable percentage of fans who just like, oh, Jesus Christ, like, oh, great, another 20-minute match involving guys I don't care about, that kind of thing. That guy's getting fucked over hard. I'm just going to say he used the F bomb. We're
Yeah, Carmelo Hayes, like he has got to be honestly looking at Trick just going, you got to be fucking kidding me.
If only I was a foot taller. I
You
guess.
know, like
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and then their history, yes, of course.
I don't know if they're legitimately friends or not outside of the ring, but honestly, even on a professional level, like you said, to be cut off at this stage with 2 weeks to go, or less than 2 weeks to go until WrestleMania, I guess it would have been a little bit more than 2 weeks on SmackDown. Anywho, but yeah, you're barely 2 weeks out, and they're just like, nah, dog, you're not getting a spot at WrestleMania. And they're. Like, it feels like they finally sealed up the complete card here.
Yeah, there may be one more match added to make it a 14 straight to 14, 14-7 each. But apparently, and granted, seeing as how long we've already gone, I don't know how many undercard matches of Raw and SmackDown we're going to get to right now. So the story that came
It's
out
only been
today,
45. It's only actually been 45 minutes
Oh, okay, never mind. Okay, okay, okay.
ish.
Well, okay, but the story that's going around is there's concerns that Nikki Bella won't be cleared by WrestleMania. So they're keeping Asuka and Kairi Sane out of anything else so that they could jump into the four-way tag match. So that's why Asuka versus Io Sky hasn't been made in an official match for WrestleMania.
Okay. And it feels like that isn't the first thing, like that feels very similar decision making wise to what they did with Seth Rollins and Gunther.
Yeah.
You know, like they were waiting for some type of information. They're like, well, we got our information, so doors closed on this storyline, so we've got to go this route. And yeah, that has a very similar like vibe from at least how they operate. So it's not kind of a surprising outcome to what they've been presented with here. And I mean, it really was a last minute thing, 'cause was it last week? 'Cause oh yeah, 'cause they
Yeah.
showed that clip on SmackDown, didn't they? Or they showed it on Raw.
I think so. I'm trying to remember.
'Cause
Was
was it a
this past? Was
match?
it was the week? But it was the week before, right? That they did.
Oh yeah, 'cause it is Charlotte and Alexa versus Bayley and Lyra on SmackDown.
That was this week. The week before was Charlotte and Alexa
And
versus the Bella Twins, and everyone got involved, and somehow I think Nikki tweaked her knee or whatever.
ankle.
Ankle
Yeah.
tweaked her ankle, yeah. Or her
Yeah, that
ankle.
looked it was going in a direction it should not really be going in.
Yeah.
From from the little
I didn't know. I mean, I don't
thing
think
that
I
they
really noticed that
showed.
she wasn't in the ring, but yeah. I see it after the fact. Yeah, definitely. So, but yes, that's. The card is sealed up.
Yeah, I don't know why you
They've.
just don't go with Kyrie or Kyrie, Asuka and Io, and just let that be a three woman or three team match.
Yeah.
Or
You
have
sure could have done
Io
that.
grab someone and have her fill in as the fourth team if you really.
But.
'Cause I mean that's another one where it's just like, yeah, I mean we talked about it last week. Io not having a WrestleMania match is really weird. After
Yeah, she's
she
been
had two
doing the storyline with
consecutive years.
Asuka, but also she's also now been put in involvement, although I don't think that any more continued involvement in the Rhea Ripley's Jade Cargill storyline because she did on SmackDown, first on SmackDown, make the save for Rhea Ripley when she was being beat down 3-on-1. And then they do the tag match, these sensible tag match with Rhea and Io against
The
B-Fab
baddies.
and Mee Chin, and they win but get beat down after the match, and Io Sky basically has to play the role of helpless best friend who gets beaten up while and
That was kind of weird, just because I mean, they have really shown Rhea and Io as besties as well as they've done that for anyone.
Right. And I make the hot take that it's to the detriment of Rhea Ripley because it's too soft.
It's weird for both of them, honestly, just because Io's been her own version of hard ass.
Yeah, she has. And
You know?
there's moments where, especially where she overdoes the head point, where it's almost like she's as mini foreign wrestlers have over the years portrayed as almost childlike. Like she's a child who Rhea Ripley needs to protect and care
Oh.
for.
Yeah, that relationship is it's something. It is something.
It is, and again, in the midst of all, they've actually been a good team as well. So you can give that, you can give and an alternate universe where presumably Bianca Belair would have been healthy to take the Jade Cargill match at WrestleMania. They probably would have still stayed a tag team. And Rhea and Io would have gotten her WrestleMania match that guaranteed WrestleMania match that way.
Yeah, that is kind of wild,
And
because
Bayley would have missed WrestleMania 2 years in a row.
oh
Actually, there's
jeez.
still time.
Oh man, yeah, that would definitely be rough.
But and of course the
Oh.
weirdest part about the whole tag match and how it ended with Io Sky essentially being helpless at the hands of Jade Cargill,
Yeah.
they did play the video of Asuka cutting the promo on her, challenging to her match at an
And
undisclosed time.
With
So she is still
WrestleMania less
involved
than
in her.
2 weeks away.
So she is cannon fodder in a bigger storyline, and she has her own underneath storyline still going on. I
Yeah.
almost feel it. I almost. It sucks to not make WrestleMania at all. But to end up in the match that people are going to treat as the least important match on the show, and unfortunately, some people are going to treat as a bathroom break. I hate to see them put in that position, but it seems that's where we're what could be headed. It's just it,
Yeah, that is the one match. I agree with you that could be added within the scope of this
right.
thing. But
Which
that
also is weird because there is an overwhelming amount of Raw matches on this show, and SmackDown is very underrepresented. You could make an argument that you could do something with the US title, women's title, and throw it on WrestleMania, especially if Tiffany's going to be involved and she's one of the bigger names remaining who
Oh.
looks like she might be getting
Yeah,
shut
she
out.
is still on the Io Sky shutout list.
Yeah.
That is pretty wild. That is pretty wild.
And what the hell was the point of Jelly Roll if he wasn't supposed to be on WrestleMania? The man shows up on SmackDown for 3 weeks, gets a pinfall win in a singles match, takes an RKO, and then he's just gone. And no one's mentioning him anymore. Because after what
Yeah,
happened on
well
Friday, that's completely forgotten now. Jelly
that
Roll
is
taking
one
an
of the
RKO does not matter at all at this point.
no, he does not seem to still be involved in this angle. It was a really
Or his own
weird.
angle with Miz and Kit Wilson, which I was thinking was going to get involved in a get lead to a wacky tag match, which I'm really disappointed it's not going to happen. Because that's actually the perfect match, completely unserious comedy match you could add as the lat a 14th match at WrestleMania, and not put anyone in a position to be like, oh yay, it's the least important. Yeah, this is the least, because that could happen to Io and Asuka. It could also happen to, Tiffany and Julia and whatever else they could do with that women's US title. Like they could be, unfortunately, in the Who Cares match of the show. Now, granted, this is a solid lineup, and there really is. Last year, they had some real no cares matches. Like, unfortunately, Jade Cargill and Naomi didn't really have a lot of juice heading into WrestleMania. You had, was it El Grande Americano had a match, and the tag title match
Oh,
was kind of
I did
El Grande
not pull
Americano
up.
versus Rey Mysterio that turned into El Grande Americano versus Rey Phoenix at WrestleMania. The
Here, let
Viking
me
Raiders
see.
against the New Day for the
Yeah,
tag belts that no one
I
really cared
pulled up
about.
WrestleMania 42 already. I did not pull up the 41
There were some
result.
weak matches on last year that are lacking this year. That this year's has ended up solid. We have talked about
Yeah, the
it.
content, especially since it was earlier today that they laid out the days.
Yes, they laid out the days. Yes.
So, yeah, New Day versus the War Raiders was one of last year's
Yeah, that
matches.
just and
That
even by that point, New Day's heel turn
and
had
yes,
petered out. And then yes, the El Grande
El Grande
Americano stuff.
Americano versus Rey Fenix.
And then even though they had a feud going again, women's matches without a title at stake can just be a rough sell, unfortunately, to some of the women involved. They can
Well,
feel unimportant.
and this is the wildness of the Bianca Belair injury, is that this is partially still the result of that injury, where the story
Yes.
just in you know I'm not yeah the story was not told correctly because of that injury, or at least the way it was, I feel like, intended, I would
Yeah.
say. So yeah, that did not help that match at all. So yeah, that night one last year looked pretty rough.
It was rough. It was rough there in person. Yes, it was not. This is I again. I am way look more looking forward to this year's lineup. And I guess we
Yeah.
can transition a little bit to, well, a celebrity who is going to have a match at WrestleMania. One I Show Speed. Who, you know what? I'm getting a kick out of the little guy. He has great facial expressions, and he does
He
stare
really,
well, and yes.
he is very wrestling to
He is
me.
very, yes.
Like
He's
his
a natural in a different way
presentation.
than Logan Paul. Obviously, Logan Paul is a very big guy, you know, had pretty much physical credibility from the day he started. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I Show Speed is not that. He is terrified. He is going to get killed in here. Although his leap over LA Knight was pretty damn incredible. I will give him all the credit in the world for that.
He definitely showed off some athleticism because LA Knight did not duck very far.
No,
It
that's why it
was
was
more
impressive.
of a credit to his leaping skills
He had
than
a
L.
hell, and that's just a standing jump off the floor. Not,
And he still
no
cleared
prep or
him
nothing.
by
He cleared
a
him. That
pretty
is that was
decent
un that was
save
unbelievable.
too.
Yes. So yeah, the combination of his you know, facial expressions, how he's selling the fear here. Yeah,
Yes.
this should be
He
a
has
fun
not
match.
wanted to
And
be involved, but Logan Paul really has pushed him to be involved, like
yeah.
literally pushed him to be involved.
And it's kind of funny that as the Vision has become, I guess, less important, and now we're introducing actual speed in this, Paul Heyman has abandoned them basically. He doesn't want to be a part of it's like he doesn't want to be a part of this.
It's been kind of funny that we've pretty much only seen him with Brock Lesnar or talking about the Vision without them around
Right.
in some abstract sense.
But that six-man tag should you know what? It should be fun. They're putting it in the first hour on ESPN2. You know, you got your celebrities there. You got a fun little match.
Oh, that is the only thing they do not have on Wikipedia is which ones were on the first hour.
If you look for the graphics and because I've got the graphics now saved on my phone now from Facebook, so I'm like, okay, so that's how I'm going to remember all this. And it does have at the bottom the first hour on ESPN2. Yeah, in the first hour, we're going to get the six-man tag on Saturday. We're going to get the six-man tag and the unsanctioned match with McIntyre and Fatu. Which, that one's an interesting choice because it might put a limit on how violent that's going to get. If they're not going to go all out on ESPN2 the way you would might think. Although, again, it's a WWE hardcore matchup. You don't necessarily expect an AEW hardcore match, of course, as we said before.
No, not quite expecting that level of violence. But yeah, I do think that that will at least dial things back a touch more than I expected.
But again, should still be a good match if really either of those could open. You know, you got the six-man tag will be high energy. The unsanctioned match will be, you know, wild, and you know, obviously got McIntyre's a big star and Fatu's on the up on the up and up. And then
Yeah.
I really like what they're doing with Sunday though. I think having because that's on regular ESPN, which is a bigger deal than ESPN2, of course.
Yes.
Starting
Yeah,
with Brock and Oba. Probably the best call, and if this is going to do any kind of a rating at all on ESPN, I mean, that's the match you put on.
I was unsurprised by this news.
Yeah, I
Because
figured that was going to open.
Brock generally is, and I mean, we've joked about it before, he's either main event or opener. That
Yeah.
man does not work the third match of a card.
No.
So he, I don't know, they might get the main event, quote unquote, slot of, you know, he might be the second, they might end up giving that the second match
Because
in
the
this
other match on
situation.
ESPN on Sunday is the ladder match. Which, that's a great call to put on ESPN. Put a ladder match on ESPN, wild stunt show. That'll get the crowd. Yeah,
Yes.
a WrestleMania that goes right from Lesnar and Oba, presumably, so we're going to presume that's first, to the ladder match. That'll be a hell of an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, those matches, especially with all participants involved, because we talked about it last week. We were wondering if there was going to be a base involved in this ladder match because there was one open slot, or at least we thought there was.
Well, it's Rusev. I mean, we already know that's Rusev. But they're gonna put Rey Mysterio straight out of being injured already this year. And that happened in January, by the way. It's only April. It's gonna be in a ladder match at 51 years old or 50 years old on his 17th knee or whatever knees or whatever it is. Set of knees.
It is wild to put someone in this situation this quickly. It
Yeah.
is really, really wild. But that really does give that matchup a name to rest on. As
Yeah.
much as I think Penta has caught the crowd by storm, if you're trying to sell this to a wider audience, adding in Rey Mysterio, I think does the trick for you.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it definitely does.
So there is that part. So yeah, that should be a fun opener. And well, yeah, again, whichever way they go with those two matches, it should be pretty fun. A good combination of a short slugfest and just the zaniness of a six person ladder match.
Yeah.
I guess there are a couple of things that we haven't really was there? 'Cause yeah, I guess we were talking about iShow Speed with the celebrities. I think we're out of celebrities to talk about, and there were just kind of a handful of matches, honestly, that got some segments on Raw worth talking about. I guess we could talk a little bit at least about the sit-down interview with AJ Lee, and because yeah, Becky Lynch got herself involved in that then, correct?
Yes, 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 yes. We got the two of them after Becky interrupted Michael Cole and insulted him, and then he went out
Yeah,
his
kind of
way and
chased him
they
off.
confronted each other. Good intensity here. Good, yeah, just don't set just good intensity. AJ Lee hitting the points that about kicking the door down for women like Becky, and again the line again about being your own daughter's favorite, your favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler, and your daughter's favorite wrestler.
Yep. Yeah, you cannot
Yeah.
make too fine of a point for on that one, as we've already
Right.
stated in previous shows here. So,
Yeah.
yeah, and
Again.
Becky's still a little upset about it. Yeah, I guess we'll wait till prediction time, but it was good continued setup for them.
Yeah.
So there really is not a lot to say about that one. Another night one match here had the shortest of segments, but boy, am I unsurprised at the results here. Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez supposedly in concussion protocol for the
Oh, no shit.
WWE.
Somehow in a segment where Brock, somehow in a show where Brock Lesnar and Oba Femi were throwing office chairs at each other, this ended up being the most brutal thing on the entire show. Sanity Kerr comes out of nowhere, knocks Liv Morgan into Roxanne, who just falls, just drops a right on the back of her head. You hear it. You hear it. It's like an egg. You hear it sound like an egg cracking, and except it's the back of her head. Then Stephanie McCare throws Liv Morgan face first into the flat screen TV that's in the Judgment Day's clubhouse. And as much as Liv Morgan tried to protect herself with her hands, she apparently did not fully, because she had a pretty damn massive goose egg on her head later that night. And of course, Roxanne is nowhere to be seen in the Judgment Day picture, because she is, as we said, in concussion protocol from taking just,
A
I
wicked
mean, I
headbutt,
wicked,
and
just a
then
wicked head, just head, just.
because yeah, I think her and Liv's head collided,
Yeah, so that's
and then her,
probably
the
more what
back
the
of
goose
her
egg came
head.
from than the monitor. Although the monitor throw did look good. Yes,
Yes,
your
it
you boy, you
did.
made the point now. Yes, Liv
And
Morgan,
yeah,
Liv's
Roxanne
head.
got it double. Like I, oof, boy,
Yeah,
yeah,
that was some that was
that
brutal.
was.
I don't know if you blame anyone for that. I mean, Stephanie was doing her job, and
Yeah, the only thing that's weird about that is I still think it's weird for a baby face to be the one assaulting the heel in their own do they still call it a clubhouse?
yeah, it's the clubhouse. Yes,
Yeah.
in the clubhouse from
In
behind.
the
Yes,
yeah, in the clubhouse from behind, I'm like, hey man, I know
there have
that
been
she
questionable
said
things that
some
Stephanie
very.
McCare has done in this. Yeah, that's not the first time she's attacked Liv Morgan from behind either. It's again, this has been kind of a weird build in that regard. And then Stephanie McCare getting re go going really hard on Liv Morgan and going really hard on Liv Morgan in promos, and yeah, even getting personal. Personal first, and because it wasn't Liv Morgan's been responding to what Stephanie McCare has been saying about her.
Yeah,
We
Vicar has definitely
brought that up last week.
seemingly
Yes.
started it more times than not. Like, I know that she was really responding to what Liv said about her mom this week, but it's still, yeah, this one, it has been a really strange one.
Yes, and she even says in her video promo about how that no one older than middle school would get angry about your mom joke, but it's like you did. You ran out there last week like a bat out of hell after Liz said that. You responded to
Yeah,
that.
you have definitely taken the bait here, lady. So yeah, it's well, and especially too, like it was to me kind of weird that Liv was questioning Roxanne when Roxanne was the one that bailed her out against Stephanie
Yeah,
last
that was
week.
weird.
It I that did kind of get lost in the whole, wow, this looked really rough.
Yeah.
Department. So, yeah, that was a strange
Roxanne and the
choice
Judgment
too.
Day, and just like, because we've completely dropped Roxanne and Dom and anything of that sort. The chicken tenders, all of it. We've dropped attendees.
Oh yeah, he is definitely serious Dom
Well,
now.
no, well, no. I mean, we've dropped any pretense that Roxanne is hitting on Dom, and we
Oh
have for months
yeah.
now.
Oh yeah. Her being injured before this did not help that matter at all,
Right,
but
no.
it had already started to cool off quite a bit. Well, really since Liv returned.
Yeah, it really
Like
has. Yeah.
there's been a lack of yeah, Roxanne and Dom interaction in that entire time period. So
Right.
yeah, like I think that was why it felt extra weird too for this whole segment really to be taking place. So yeah, strange strange one there. And I think I guess speaking of Judgment Day, and we can do kind of a quick hit on this one too. Was Finn Balor hinting at the demon returning for WrestleMania? In his match against Dominic Mysterio.
Either that or someone just dropped a sound effect by accident, and which that's the, of course yes, he's going to show up as the demon. And you know what, it's been a long time since we've seen it. It's been a moment, probably, I think it's been like almost 5 years or something since the last time he even did it. Of course, the last time he did it, I think, was he lost to Roman Reigns in that weird match where the top rope broke on him or whatever.
Oh yeah, that was a wild one.
That was a wild one, and we never got an answer as to how, why, or how that happened.
Oh yeah, 'cause it didn't they hint it like it being, like someone kind of rigged it, but then they never really solved the mystery, I feel like.
Yeah, something, yeah, something like that. God, that's
Something in
before.
that the
God, Baylor's
vicinity.
been in this Judgment Day thing for like 4 years now. Is that's crazy how long ago that is.
It's been a while that him and Judgment Day have been a thing. So yeah, I guess that was worth
Yeah,
mentioning
and
there.
when they did have that Finn and JD were gonna have a singles match, it's like, okay, logic says that Finn would win this, but JD actually has a title match at WrestleMania, so how are we getting out of this one? But of course, the match doesn't start. They beat down Finn again,
Oh,
which is
yeah.
then is the catalyst for bringing in the demon.
Yep. And then what is it? I don't know. There really wasn't. I guess there was a little bit to say. Not on the Seth Rollins end, but on the Gunther end between him and Paul Heyman. The interaction was an interesting one.
Yes, it's seems to be setting up that at some point Paul Heyman will owe Gunther more than a big favor, which I think people can already presume has may have something to do with a with an eventual match with Brock Lesnar.
yeah, that would seem to be one of the possibilities. I would have to think that if Paul Heyman ever manages a champion, Gunther will be cashing that in for a championship shot because Gunther was not exactly friendly with Paul Heyman. I
No,
have liked
he wasn't.
how standoffish he's been, even with other heels. Like he's
Yes,
just like
that's
I
good.
he still really acts like a dickhead to just everyone.
Yeah, he definitely does. Yeah, it is good. It's a good part of his character, yes.
I guess is there anything else to go over here, sir, before we mosey on out of here? I feel like that covers the big points that were worth talking about.
I
Like you
mean,
said, at less than 2 weeks out now to WrestleMania.
right, less than yeah, we're a week and a half out. Yeah, we're getting close. We're heading there. It's gonna be a good time.
Okie dokie. Well, bell time beer for the night. One that I will not be able to get in Las Vegas here. Saucy Brew Works, the salted caramel version of What's His Nuts. This is a peanut butter flavored coffee stout, 7.5% alcohol. These Saucy Brew Works originally started in Cleveland, Ohio. They have a location here in Columbus, and they make some pretty damn good beer. They also have some pretty solid pizzas there, should you either be in the land or in Columbus. So yeah, that is Bell Time Beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango. 11, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.